Backseat Producers, episode 203, Archon Recap.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Jonathan.
This is Sam.
And we are what's left of the Backseat Producers. So, Archon...
And in a couple hours more, there'll be even fewer of us, and
yeah,
Sam dies.
Sam is slowly just wasting away.
You know, the best description I've heard is that I sound like I've gargled battery acid.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, as I was trying to be quiet, and one of the guys at work looked at me, he's going, "Are you trying to be Clint Eastwood?" No, I'm not, in fact, trying to die, dickhead.
It is the Sausage Fest aftermath, so.
Yeah. What this
really
is
be all that surprised.
It is.
As smoothly as Sausage Fest went,
it was glorious.
I'm willing to take the hit on this end.
This is karmic.
That's
karma
fine.
Balancing out.
And that's yeah. And that's
that
fine.
I know that that's not how karma works.
It's like caffeine. Right? You take the hit and you're like, "Oh, we're doing good." And then there's the crash.
Yeah, this is
and
the
it's
crash.
Vicious.
Yeah,
I've been living it.
Yeah, you're full on in the crash right now. All right, so, this past weekend,
it's not so good.
Archon and Sausage Fest and Backseat Producers 200 all happened in the span of what, 6 hours. We were in Backseat Producers 200 and doing Sausage Fest, though really it was actually in the span of just over 12 hours, because Backseat Producers started at 2:40 and Sausage Fest ended at like 3:15.
Three something. Yeah, it was 3:15.
It was a little after 3 because at 3, the hotel staff came in and said, it's 3 now. And by that point,
they're going to start fading in the music for your speech.
Yeah.
They're going to start calling the cops.
Yeah. Well, at that point, I had already told Jonathan, "Hey, let's pour them quick.
Let's just get rid of everything that we can.
Anything with less than an inch left in the bottle, just pour it out, because I don't want to take those bottles home."
Yeah.
We are actually still waiting on Daryl. And we all, I think, have some stories to tell. But, Jonathan, I think there's one you need to tell before Daryl gets here.
Oh, boy. All right, so here's the thing. We had 2 rooms, 4 beds, 5 people, and somehow it worked out that Daryl and I shared a room.
Alone.
I think I know how that worked.
Yeah. There we didn't share a bed too. Alone. We shared... I think there were some desires there that weren't voiced on someone's end. That wasn't me. That was the other person in the room with me. And I'm not going to say it because I don't want trouble. But,
he saw those hands.
On Friday, something happened and Daryl was like on the bed. We were all in the room. Daryl was on the bed, and all of a sudden, David looks over and is like, "What the hell are you doing, Daryl?" And Daryl's got his like foot up around his chit.
Yeah,
he's doing yoga.
Well, Daryl has actually lost quite a bit of weight recently, doing primarily like he changed his diet, and he started doing like these intense stretching exercises every day.
Yeah, and I mean, I've got no problem with it. Like, that's cool, because, I mean, I, even for as big a dude as I am, I'm fairly limber. I can surprise people with...
You like, surprised me. You did it. You're like, you're putting your foot up over your head. I was like, holy shit, what is
going on? I used to be able to get it all the way over my head, but I've gotten fatter since then. But, so, like, it didn't surprise me all that much. It didn't bother me. Like, he's doing stretches. I've done that before. Not a big deal. You know, it's good to keep yourself limber and all that kind of thing. That's fantastic. So the thing is we're partying on Friday because, especially, like, for Art, and I kind of felt a little bit this way too. Like, I did last year at Sausage Fest. I had some issues in that I got wasted at Sausage Fest.
Oh, and
I passed out.
I think I have the story to tell about getting wasted on Friday.
Yeah, well,
we'll save that though.
Passed the hell out on like halfway through Sausage Fest and missed all the good bits.
Yes.
Missed the making out, missed the lesbian sex, missed the boobs, missed everything.
You missed a lot.
Yep. Yeah. So did, I was like, I don't want...
Well, to be fair, you did also miss falling into Rob's balls.
This is true.
Yes.
You
yes,
did, true. You didn't the miss bush the bush, thing, though.
The bush thing was a calculated decision, not a moment of consciousness. I just want to put that out.
There was a reason...
I had two choices. I chose the bush instead of the balls.
Hey,
it was a simple choice between shrubbery and scrotum.
Yeah,
it's a choice.
Simple choice.
No, it's a choice every man has to make: bush or balls. Some people don't make a choice though. Some people are, you know, they're cool. Yeah. They're cool with both.
Yeah,
yeah. They're indifferent, you know.
Who are we to judge? Who are we to judge?
This story before Daryl shows up. Yeah. So
you're good for now.
All right. So here's the thing. So I do my partying on Friday. And come Friday night, we get back to the hotel, and like I collapse on the bed and pass right the hell out.
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, he laid down after we got back from Denny's, and in 5 seconds, he was out.
Yeah, I recall walking into the room, collapsing on the bed, and then I hear, not couldn't have been more than 2 or 3 seconds after I collapsed on the bed. I do recall hearing, I think it was you, calling me for something. And I was like, I have a choice here. I can force myself back to consciousness and respond to whatever the hell it is, or just let go and go. And, yeah, I just went.
Yeah.
But, so, like, three or four hours later, I wake up, I'm thirsty, I've got, like, the beer shits, you know, like, things need to be done, I get out of bed. And I realize that somehow it comes to mind that Daryl is in his tighty-whities. He's sleeping in nothing but his underwear. Which, fine, whatever, he's in his own bed, I'm in my own bed. Like, I don't mind that he's sleeping in his underwear, that doesn't bother me.
Sure.
I go back to bed, fall asleep, sleep for a couple more hours. People start kind of waking up. I start waking up because it's, you know, it's morning at a con. You never really sleep all that way through. And I get up, I'm doing some of my things, and then I come back out, and I realize it's still kind of dark, but I see Daryl doing his stretches again.
Oh, Daryl's finally here.
Yeah, MoDOT decided to tear down two bridges on 64. They got 64 down to one lane.
We're recording and already.
Okay. He did it. He was doing it in his night clothes.
Yep.
Okay.
It was unfortunate.
Headphones are right behind you.
Yeah. Okay, so, there's so that.
That's picture that. The end of that story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. All right, so we're just basically at this point telling stories about Sausage Fest and Archon.
Okay.
All right, so jumping off of Jonathan's story, Friday night, everybody kind of gathers. We were actually still waiting for James at this point, but Jeff and Melina had their panel, their inaugural recording of their podcast, the law of the geek. And so just to add to the story, they were going to get a pony keg to bring to their podcast.
Yeah.
We were going to get a pony keg to bring to Backseat Producers 200. So we figured, hey, a quarter barrel and a quarter barrel equals a half barrel. And so to avoid the deposit fee, the tapper rental, it wasn't rental, the tapper deposit, the keg deposit, and to save like $20 if we got them together, we just got a half barrel instead of two quarter barrels.
Might have been a bit of a mistake, but that's
all right. Turns out we probably...
No bit of a mistake.
We probably... Well, that was a mistake that just kept on mistaking.
Oh, yeah. That mistake cascaded like an animal.
Right up until the very goddamn end.
Yeah. So we show up... Well, before that... You guys had your live name that game.
Yeah. You're stealing my thunder over there. I won't steal
your thunder. You had that. Then we rush over to set up for Melina and Jeff's thing. As it turns out, I volunteered to go ahead and run the mixer, and that way they could just record. We set up a third mic so that people could, from the audience, could ask questions. Turned out that really didn't fly. People were just kind of shouting, and not. I don't think they really got picked up on the mic, but that's not my problem to edit. That's.
But you had goddamn Domo-kun hat guy.
Oh, that guy. That guy was such a tool.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
And I knew, I mean, I was surprised we didn't get another guy like that in the panel Jeff and I did on Saturday. But that's a different story. So I had the idea on Thursday that I'm going to bring my dude vodka, my Mountain Dew flavored vodka. Well... They frown upon you bringing anything into the con, like into the con area.
The convention center.
Yeah, the hotel they're cool with. They're more cool with. But
yeah, the convention center's a bunch of really tight asses on that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah.
So I figured. Well, I'm going to carry this shoulder bag around with me. I can slip something into the shoulder bag. And who's going to really say anything about, you know, a bottle of Mountain Dew? Mm. Especially if they don't know that I drank the Mountain Dew the day before and refilled the bottle with dude vodka. Straight. So, yeah, I take a couple sips of it.
Tony's hardcore.
Yeah, I take a couple sips of it as I'm walking over to name that game. I take a couple sips during name that game. No big deal. So, I'm sitting there during their podcast... And, you know, fiddling with the mixer, making sure the levels are good. Because Jeff keeps, you know, talking loud and banging on the table. And, you know, he's new at the recording thing. So he hasn't learned all the tricks. So I'm trying to keep up with it on the mixer just to keep it evened out. Well, I keep taking sips of my drink out of my bottle. Because I don't drink Bud Light because of allergies. So really, the only thing I have in the room to drink is my little bottle there. Well, 20-ounce bottle is not much for me to drink. I can drink, one of those, 16.9-ounce waters in one shot. I don't need to stop to breathe, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm sipping this thing the whole time. We get done recording, and I look, and there's about, what'd you say, about a half an inch.
Half
of
inch.
Liquid left in my bottle. And things kind of get hazy from there.
You looked perpetually shocked. I walked up to help you take stuff apart. You looked at me and went, "I am so wasted."
I was surprised.
What happened?
I was surprised. It was like, what? I don't remember drinking all this.
Sneaky Pete.
That's the problem with drinking and podcasting. Because you have this distorted sense of time because you're in this conversation that, you know, you're trying to make, like, especially when we do the movie thing, because we have certain beats that we want to hit on. We talk about the general thought of the movie, the acting, the story, and then who it's for. And during that story, you know, you have like four conversations throughout, you know, whatever you're talking about. So I can drink a lot of fluid. I can, you know, I can go through a, like, if I'm drinking water, I can go through like at least a half a gallon of water just sitting here talking. So it kind of had that effect, except I wasn't slowing down my drinking to talk because it wasn't my podcast. Yeah.
You were just all over it.
I remember like going to Zapata's after that and sitting there, and we all ordered.
God, you were terrible in Zapata.
You lost some time.
I did. Well, come to find out, because I asked James about it the next night. So I got my food, and I must have been in the middle of a story that I don't remember telling. So if somebody could inform me what stories I told at Zapata's, I would like to know. Maybe not on pod, because I don't know what I told, and I don't know if I want it recorded. But I remember stopping. I was like, food's here. I need to eat. And I looked over at James's plate, and it was empty. And I'm not talking just empty. It was like scraped. He had like scraped the plate clean, empty.
Finished everything you could finish.
I was like,
he kicked absolute ass.
Well, I talked to him the next night, and he's like, no, I eat fast. He said, but you were talking a lot.
No. All of us had finished, and you were maybe a quarter of the way through.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my karmic payback from, what was it, 2 years ago at Archon, when I basically carried Rob Justice around, he got so drunk, pretty much doing exactly the same thing that I just had done. Because he had a bottle of some liquid that he had pretty much just replaced with vodka. So I think my karmic payback was that a couple of the guys were like, you guys go, we'll stay here and talk to Tony. We'll talk to him while he eats. Basically make sure he doesn't pass out under the table.
But you were sobered up by the end of the night.
Oh yeah, so I mean by the time we went to Denny's, I drove.
Yeah.
Now, I also started to get my hangover headache while we were eating breakfast at Denny's, but I mean,
Denny's, that happens. Denny's was not a good idea.
No. Poor Denny's choice.
It was pretty tasty.
Yeah, it was I thought it was a spot, I used
the boost. I hadn't had anything since about 6.
Yeah, so we were there till about 3.
Yeah, the problem with Denny's was that after eating Denny's, I didn't need anything again until about noon the next day.
Oh, yeah.
It just kind of sat.
Yeah, except that there was a number of us that got up the next morning and went to the buffet at Porter's.
Pretty tasty.
Oh, that was horrible. That was the worst meal.
I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was pretty decent, too.
No, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
Compared to what?
Though, I've got to say, Sam, your hangover helper of that V8 infusion stuff, fantastic.
That was a good idea.
That was a great idea. Must say.
I'm telling you, like a boss.
That was the winning hangover helper of the weekend. I popped a couple of ibuprofen, drank half my bottle the night before, finished it the next morning. Beauty idea.
The cans are great because they're portable.
Yep.
Unless you have giant hands, in which all jugs are portable, too.
Yep, there is that. There's the hand joke. That's our one. We don't get any more.
He made it.
I'm the one that made it.
Yeah, I was going to say, how is that our joke? He was the one that made it. I think he hand-blocked us that joke there. So
I have to make the hand jokes first, because that indicates that it's okay.
That it's okay.
See, well, we have to put a moratorium on these jokes. It's like fishing in Newfoundland like 10 years ago. They were overfishing, and the fish were dying, so they just, like, overnight, 40,000 people out of work.
Yeah, I think
no more fishing.
I think the new joke is we've got a morality clause.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I actually want my life to be what Andrew sees on the other side of the mirror of his morality clause.
Yeah, that was, I think that's as far as we need to go with that joke.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Done.
Fortunately, that's where the story could end. All right.
Fantastic.
Daryl, do you have any stories that you want to relate to Archon or Sausage Fest?
Sausage Fest went off pretty well. I mean, other than the fact we couldn't get people to leave. I mean, they just kept coming and coming and coming, and finally the hotel said...
Hey, that's not a bad problem right there.
I know. It's just a problem is you're chasing, you're running people out at 4 o'clock in the morning, like, go home, for God's sakes. We want to go to sleep.
Well, fortunately, the hotel pretty much ran them off.
Well, they started running them off at 3 o'clock, but they were still, by 3:30, 4 o'clock, we were still kind of, they were milling around in the halls.
Yeah.
They were still going on. I mean, they it's nice to have a successful party, but good Lord.
We had to kick people out last year.
Power.
We had to kick people out last year, yeah. Because last year, I remember we ran out of food at like midnight.
Mm-hmm.
We ran out of booze at 2 a.m.
And they were still there.
They were still there at 3. At 3, it was like, okay, you people need to go now.
Yes, very badly.
Friday or Saturday that the dude came in like an hour later and was like, I brought more booze so the party can keep going.
It was Saturday night, and it was like, because in the room we had last year at the Sheraton, we had a pass-through room. So you could walk in the hotel room door, and instead of where we had like the window in our room this year,
mm-hmm.
we had like a patio door.
Yeah, we had a patio door out to the lawn,
out to
surrounding
the
lake.
Into the lake. So I had just closed that door and locked it, and like had turned around, and I hear this light knocking on the door. And I opened the door, because I don't know if it's like somebody who maybe left something in the room or whatever. So I opened the door, and these two guys, both of them with bags under their arms, are like, we brought more stuff to keep the party going.
Yeah.
It's like,
good God.
Great. It is after 3 a.m. We are going to sleep. They all went down to room, and I don't even remember what room now, but they had told us what room they were going to. They all went down to room XYZ.
And party till the break of dawn.
And they said, okay, we'll take it there. And they did.
Right on.
But we still had quite a bit of booze left
over.
Yeah,
we had enough for another party.
Oh, wow.
We couldn't throw another Sausage Fest.
No, but we could throw
close to another Sausage Fest.
But we could do a Weenie Fest.
Yeah.
I was just going to make that joke, God damn it.
Yeah, so... So we stashed. We boxed up what we had, stashed that. Any of the stuff that really just wouldn't keep, like the juices, the mixers, the Baileys,
yeah,
the soda, that all went to the dead dog party for the con. So they I figured they could use that more than we could at that point.
Yeah, they were probably appreciating it.
But we won't need to buy.
Yeah, we got a pretty good start for next year.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's a bonus.
Yeah. All right. So officially, I'm going to go ahead and do the Sausage Fest by the numbers real quick. We took in before the con $1,531. The Indiegogo shows $1,501, but my parents handed me a $30 check and said, here. it's for Sausage Fest, so that's where the extra 30 comes in. Then at the con, we took in $802.34, which, and we took that in on Saturday night. The year before at Sausage Fest, we broke up Sausage Fest into two nights because the first night was an impromptu party, and we collected about $100 the first night. Overall for the weekend, we collected just over $500. So Saturday night at the first Sausage Fest was $400. Saturday night at this Sausage Fest, $800. We doubled what we made.
Nice.
In total, so far, we have taken in $2,333.34.
Nice little chunk of change there.
And
indeed,
Sausage Fest West happens in just a couple of days.
So we will take in another thousand or so.
Well, I don't.
Well, maybe.
I'm not gonna make any predictions because this is
it'll
a private
be significant.
Event.
Yeah,
it's a private event. So,
all right, it's a little smaller.
It's a little smaller, but Rich Flynn
mm-hmm.
Lachlan on Twitter, the guy who called me, he contacted me and was like, "Hey, I want to donate my birthday to Sausage Fest."
Oh wow,
my birthday is October 8th. And I'm going to tell all my jackhole friends that instead of... I'm going to throw a party, and I don't want you to bring me gifts, which they probably wouldn't anyway, but I want you to donate money.
Mm-hmm.
He said he thinks he can get him to do it.
Yeah, well, that's nice. A pretty good chunk. That'll be a nice little tidy bonus.
Yeah, yeah. So any bonus we get, I mean,
indeed,
and we're just going to add it to the funds. Rich and I have it exactly worked out. If we're going to do a local charity, because he's in Sacramento, we're not sure if he's going to donate it to a local Sacramento charity or if he's going to give it to me to give with the big chunk. But either way, it's all considered donated from Sausage Fest. Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, so that's the money part of it. We don't know exactly what the donation final is going to be yet because, like I was telling these guys earlier, I haven't had time to do the Backseat Box Office leaderboard for this weekend, let alone count up my receipts yet. So we're not quite there yet. Sam, I believe you're going to tell us about Name That Game.
Yes. So we did our first live version of Name That Game. And honestly, Jonathan and I weren't sure how this was going to go. We landed approximately 4 hours before the panel. We got our badges, got settled in, helped get the keg, which was an adventure in its own right.
Yeah.
Turns out seatbelting a keg is a good method.
That is a good method. We have some lessons learned from the keg.
Yeah.
Yes. So we get the room. Well, first of all, Tony shows us the Calhoun room, which is where Law the Geek is going to be and where BSP is going to be. Seats about 24.
Mm-hmm.
Five people behind the panel and some standing room in the back. Then Jonathan and I go to find the room where Name That Game is going to be in. Wow.
Yeah.
Ours is bigger.
To say the least.
Or was.
To say the least.
So we walk in, and it's, I mean, we're talking, there's seats up front for 40 to 50, and tables with 8 seats around them, got to be 10 tables in the back.
Yeah, it was a ballroom. It was a full-on ballroom.
With a stage.
Yeah, with a stage. Diet. Mics, everything.
Not to mention, there was a curtained-off area behind the stage.
Oh, you were in the sound room. Stadium,
yeah, right. That was at least as big as the front part.
Mm-hmm. That's the LaSalle room.
Yeah.
So what we were contending with, the panel that had a fall room was astrology in Japan. Seriously.
Astronomy.
Astronomy.
Yeah. Not astrology, astronomy.
Astronomy, whatever.
Is it different in Japan?
I guess. There were a lot of people there.
The stars are extra shiny.
You know, there were at least 3 people with either cat ears or cat tails, so that tells you a little bit about the people.
Okay.
The panel ended with a comment about how they're going to put androids on the moon and take over the world. So, wow. I think that guy might have been racist.
That'll make Google happy.
So, we set this bad boy up, and Andrew had joined us. I had not met Andrew before. And so, hey, Jonathan, you go set it up on the stage. Andrew and I will go outside and mark it. And so Jonathan had this idea beforehand. Let's get a piece of cardboard with the box he used to bring all the games to Archon and write, you know, advertise on it and use it as like a, you know, like homeless people say, give me money. Ours is come and see our panel.
Hmm.
So Jonathan scribbles 3 games in ballpoint pen. And Andrew holds this, and he and I stand outside this ballroom. The doors closed, and he holds the sign. First guy that walks past says, "Wow, that is the sketchiest thing I have ever seen in my life." And immediately Andrew and I look at each other and are like, "Uh-oh, this is perhaps not the way to market this." So I proceed to take a couple sips of whiskey out of my flask, and then I get ridiculous and started the marketing machine. Now that you guys have met me, you understand I have no problems being loud or making an ass of myself in front of a large group of people.
Oh,
That's the name of the game at a con.
It is. And so we got actually a surprising amount of people to come in to Name That Game. We get up on stage, Jonathan grabs the mic, he sucks, and so I take over as host, and it's kind of the bomb diggity.
Thanks, Dick.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. You did organize it and bring all the prizes. So.
Yeah, there and there was no heckling at all.
No, none at all. I was working in a completely clean room. I can't imagine why I had issues.
Yeah.
But got some free games. We did a little bit of marketing. You know, if I was thinking about this, Jonathan, if we would have been smart with every prize, we would have given out our cards.
Yeah, but I there was a lot of stuff that could have been done better, but I'm sure we'll talk about that on The Way of the Game next week. So
yeah, we will.
Probably not useful for, you know, backseat producers.
Think of it as a trial.
Nah, but
think
of it as a trial run. Learning from the pimp, right?
That's right. That's right. It's trial run, and I think actually I've got some plans for that room next year.
You should.
I have thoughts. I'm not going to elucidate them online because I don't want anybody stealing them. But we'll talk about it after, because I do have some good ideas for next year.
Nice.
For Friday next year, actually, specifically.
Good deal.
All right, so any other pre-Sausage Fest stories anybody has? Backseat Producers 200?
I had not met Artemis before.
Artemis
Knight. Art is a badass.
Art is awesome. I almost killed him, but Art is awesome.
You got grabby. you were handsy.
That happens.
You slapped me in the face. You were throwing Art. Art was your teddy bear.
Yeah, I might have chucked Art around a little bit more than I should have.
A little bit. Yeah. If anybody is going to have the name Artemis Knight, this guy has earned that name.
Yeah.
He is that cool.
We actually sold him. I think if we would have worked it and the chick would have had a couple more shots later, we could have sold it. Be like, listen, he's a knight.
Yeah.
He's a full-on knight. It's true. He has ID. He's a card-carrying knight.
Yep.
You have to call him sir.
Yeah, Art is the man. He's a fantastic bartender and just generally a fantastic human being as well.
Yeah.
Just a great guy. But Backseat Producers 200 happened.
Oh boy.
It wasn't happening.
I thought that went really well. I haven't actually listened to the recording yet, but I have a feeling this is one of the better podcasts we've done in a while.
I think it's going to be bad because I had sit close to the mic syndrome.
You know what though? I was going to
be this overpowering voice of God.
No, I was watching the mixer the whole time. You were fine.
The pimp had it under control.
It's all
excellent.
Good. And I didn't have any vodka.
Yeah.
I did have
a pot. This podcast was 100% vodka free.
Yeah. No vodka.
I had Rumplemints. 101 proof peppermint
schnapps. Except that didn't work out too well either.
No.
All of us were really quite, you know, focused throughout it. And there was good discussion. I mean, Adam really led a portion of that discussion, which was good.
We worked it out, like, in the moment. We, you know, he's like, hey, who's going to moderate? Go ahead. So he moderated the discussion. I ran the mixer because we had four mics and
six people.
Seven? Mm-hmm. Seven people.
Right.
Yeah.
On mics, it was Sam, Chibi, Daryl, me, Adam, Andrew, and Jonathan.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the whole time, Chibi is drawing, sketching the whole time.
Yes.
By the time he gets done, he has the most brilliant piece of art ever made.
Yes, a panel representending the Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah.
The Fellowship of the Backseat.
The Fellowship of the Backseat.
Oh, yeah. It was hilarious.
Adam as
and
Gollum.
And what...
What's showing
again,
his ass?
He looks Asian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he looks Asian.
He looks
well,
Mongolian.
The guy
it's ridiculous.
Anime, so.
Yeah, yeah.
He's called Mr. Chibi for a reason.
Chibi as an ent because he's taller than everybody else. Jonathan as Gimli, but he's taller than any of the mortals.
than everybody.
Than everybody.
The biggest Gimli ever.
Yeah. Sam, you were...
I was you Boromir.
Were, you were, I, we were calling you Boromir, but he said it was Aragorn. Jimmy said it was Aragorn.
I have long flowing hair, and I look like... I have just a little... Because I had some stubblies going on, so I got some stubble in it. And I look like a Ponce. Honestly. I look like I've got my nose up in the air, and I'm looking all noble and shit.
So you're actually Faramir.
That's... Yeah. I'm fat Gandalf. Yeah, that was an awesome picture. We're going to have to... get a copy of it and post it somewhere. I don't know.
I would pay him to ink it.
Yeah, yeah. I asked him if he'd give me a copy of that because I'd like to frame it.
No kidding. But all in all, the panel went really well. Not superbly attended. But I can say that there was only one person in the room that I did not know going into the podcast. There was one person I had never met until halfway through the podcast when he came in. But that was PC Herring, who's a... I knew he was coming to Archon. He's a podcaster from Chicago. He does the podcast novel Cybrosis.
Oh, excellent.
So, yeah, I knew he was coming. I got a chance to talk to him after.
We had a literary giant there, too.
We did?
Yes. Hunter S. Thompson.
Hunter S. Thompson, yeah.
Hunter S. Thompson.
That's right. I forgot
his
about
ghost
Hunter
S. His demon-possessed... Yeah.
I forgot that Hunter S. Thompson showed up halfway through. Mm-hmm. That was one of the other people I didn't know.
Hey, Hunter didn't have a caffey clutch.
No, he didn't. We did need not. To talk about that.
No, we don't, because it didn't happen.
Yeah, we do.
I've already talked about it on BSBO and on... I never actually showed up to it, so...
We don't need to talk about this then.
Oh, yeah, so that happened.
Yeah, no, that was a good show. That was... I enjoyed partaking in that.
Yeah, I think we just had a really good, solid discussion as well.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good time with that.
Lots of pleasant argument, especially when Chibi's like, I didn't like these movies.
Between Chibi's, yeah, these movies, they weren't that great, and my Elrond is a pussy.
I think my favorite part of BSP 200 was, hey, I understand the acting is difficult, but you've with what they did with Gollum, that was all the animators. And, like, Tony, you look at Chibi and go, Chibi? He steps up to the mic, locks eyes with me, and says, that is fucking acting.
Animation's not acting. That is fucking acting.
Off on the mic.
That was,
amazing.
That was brilliant. That really was. Are we ready to break into Sausage Fest proper?
Yeah.
Well, we should point out right now that we got a half... Okay. Got a half barrel. We're dragging around this half barrel of Bud Light. It's gone to two panels now.
Uh-huh.
Both where it was intended to be have been drunk quite a bit. And I think maybe we pulled out like a couple of ounces.
Yeah, we
maybe a gallon of beer from it total.
Now this
is important for later
this,
on.
This item is supposed to produce 160 12-ounce glasses of,
and at best we
alcohol.
Were filling what 3-ounce plastic cups.
No, they were 7-ounce cups.
They were seven. Yeah, they weren't that small.
But we had probably poured 30 of those at most across both of those two events.
Yeah.
So that happened. Then what happened? I wasn't there, so I claim no knowledge.
Are we talking about the bathtub?
I think we're going to talk about the bathtub.
Yes. See, this actually happened before. That happened before BSP 200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we've got this, we've got a full goddamn keg, and not like a full keg, but a full barrel, of half barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
basically it's full.
We you know, as you do with a keg, you put it into the tub with ice. Mm-hmm. But like the way the bathrooms are laid out is such that the door opens, there's the toilet, so and then all of this covers the bathtub. Mm-hmm. So getting it in and out of here is a giant pain in the ass,
especially when it's so freaking heavy.
Yeah, and full.
Yeah, and you can't get two people in there to help lift in the bathroom. There's just nothing to do. You
nope. There's no place to leverage either.
So like. I put down, in my defense, I did try to protect the tub a bit. I put down a towel to, like, protect the tub as we lift it out. Because you have to kind of, like, whoever was in there has to lift it, put it on the side of the tub. Then, like, the other person can help move it to the toilet, and then we can get it out the door. It's an 85-step process to do this. But yeah, like I pick up the tub or pick up the keg, set it down. Oh crap! I missed the towel.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear chink. I look down. I'm like,
racist.
Shut up. I look down. It gets better. I look down. There's this black spot in the whiteness of the tub. If we're gonna go racist, might as well go there. But I'm like, tell me that's. A scuff. Look down. Oh, like scrape at it. That's not a scuff. look in the tub. I looked at the tub later, and like there's black scuff marks and like scratches. We kind of destroyed that tub.
Well, it didn't really destroy it. I mean, they'll have to resurface it.
Yeah, they'll resurface it now.
It's not like they don't see this stuff all the time.
To add to the story,
yeah.
Because there's really not a whole lot more interesting that happens other than, yeah, we scuffed up the tub pretty good. And then we wised up afterwards and, like, lined the shit out of that tub with towels while we put it back in there for Sausage Fest. So it's Sunday, and Daryl and I, you guys had already gone, we emptied out the rooms.
Yeah, this is the part of the story I want to hear.
Yeah, emptied out the rooms completely. Everything's packed in cars.
This section has been redacted due to our morality clauses.
Saturday night rolls around, and we get the room set up, like, just completely rearranged two rooms.
Yeah, we took the beds and pushed them together, folded them up, and wiggled them around the room, and...
We took
desk out of one whole room and put it in the oven to make the bar.
Yeah, like the long desk that's in a normal hotel room. We pulled it fully out of one room and put it into another. We had adjoining rooms, which worked
good,
out really
cool.
Good,
because you just opened the door and just walked between them.
Yeah, so we had one room that we kind of blocked off the bulk of the room and used that room to serve the sausage and the booze from. And then you walk through the adjoining door into the other...
Reception area.
Into the other room. And it was like a social reception area where you could just mingle and chat. And
yeah, we had the beds arranged so you could actually sit on them like a couch. And
yeah, we did that.
We took the speakers
up. That was an excellent idea.
Yeah, that worked out really well. So we had... some things we had done better this year than last year was... This year we actually posted suggested donations for drinks because Art made up like this killer bottle cap shot thing that was just fantastic. It tastes like you're eating bottle cap candies, except you're drinking a shot. Then he also made up like a 2-gallon container of those. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was quite full, but we put them in a 2-gallon container.
And it lasted all night.
Yeah, it was... And then he made another one of Long Island iced tea, and that one was pretty much full. And that one, they both lasted right to the end, perfect timing. And then he was mixing drinks, all night. Plus, we had a boss. Yeah. Plus, we still had the beer.
Which ended up being a bad idea because we put the beer in the bathroom in the reception room, and nobody went in there.
Nobody went in there. Nobody could drink it. So, or nobody was drinking it. A few people went in. For the most part, they didn't. I have to mention also one of the major sponsors, Basement Jockeys, John and Josh were there, and they were just hanging out. But their buddy Nick. Who was hanging out with him? And
Nick was awesome.
Speaking of like a boss.
Yeah, he hung out with us some on Friday night, but he hung out on Saturday.
He was at Name That Game.
Yeah, he was at Name That Game as well. he showed up and he was like, he was wanting to hang out, but he's not really a drinker. And he was like, he just kind of wanted to hang out. And I said something about, man, we need to watch IDs. And he's like, I can do it. I was like, if you want to, I'm not going to make you, man. He's like, no.
Who signs up for that?
Yeah. Usually? He's like, it's all right. I don't mind at all. And he goes and he stands like right in between the two hotel room doors, which is, you know, perfect because he can see anybody coming in either door and just watches badges all night.
I've got a picture of him where he stood looking awesome.
Yeah, because he was. He was just looking awesome.
He was fan. And that was his first Archon ever.
Yeah.
And he just worked the door for us. Like
5 hours on Saturday night. Super trooper. Yeah. He stood his post from 10 to 3.
Yeah.
Like a
stud.
Yeah. He was awesome. So
like a boss.
I made sure that he got a Sausage Fest shirt and glass. And like if I would have had more stuff, I would have given it to him. If he would have drank, I would have like given him some booze. You know, it was just like, dude, you earned every second of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was awesome. I've got a great picture from the end of the night where that dude that we gave the jug of beer to, which we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Dude sitting there holding the jug in one hand, thumbs up in the other, just grinning his head off, and Nick is standing right behind him, just head back laughing. 3:30 in the morning. These two guys could not have looked more festive. It was 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning when I took that picture. It was like, that was how awesome Sausage Fest was. Yeah. Actually, I tweeted it. I tried to tweet it that night, but for some reason it didn't actually go until the next morning. And if you look for a tweet from me on Sunday, it says something like, and this is how Sausage Fest ends. That's the picture for that. That's the caption for that picture. Yeah, so we get everything all set up, and it's about... Well, and then we went out to eat. We came back. Some of us wanted a nap, which was fair.
Well needed.
Yeah.
Well needed.
I tried, but it was like I couldn't get settled. So I got up and slammed a 5-hour energy. And
yeah, I think I only managed about half an hour, 45 minutes.
I just kind of laid there for about 15 minutes because I was in the main room, so there was still a lot of activity going on. So
Sam, you or Andrew was like chopping down sequoias. I don't know who, but
it's probably me.
Hell.
Yeah.
One of you dudes can snore like a motherfucker. Just whoa.
We all had our moments throughout the weekend.
Yes, we did. I had to put in earplugs post Sausage Fest to sleep because of you, Tony.
Hey, Sam, should we put a timer on the door when you're in the bathroom from now on? Because Jesus Christ, I think you spent at least a third of Archon shitting.
Off your feet there a little bit, hey?
It was the low elevation, the pressure differential.
Yeah, you tried that argument the whole time you were there.
Just pushed it out your rectum.
Yeah, no.
The air killed me.
So, everybody was up and moving. It was, and we had things pretty much ready to go shortly after 9, I would say. Yeah. Some people had already gotten ready for the evening for their partying, gotten into their evening attire. I'm mostly referring to Melina. And there were people that kept trying to get into Sausage Fest from about 8:30 until 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Zombie Squad guys had started their party at 8, and we could hear their bass thumping. We were in rooms... Yeah.
131 and 129.
129.
And they were in 117.
They were in 117, and we could clearly hear them with our doors closed. We could hear their bass thumping.
And would you believe there were people who were complaining on the party floor that the noise was too much?
That's another story.
Yeah.
And actually, that there's a story that kind of needs to start from the night before as well.
Well, that can come with them.
Yeah.
Which one?
The noise complaint. Did you know about the noise complaint we got, Sam?
There was a noise complaint.
The noise complaint was fantastic.
We had a noise complaint. So
really,
yeah. So to start this story, we'll get to the noise complaint later. So Friday night, Josh, I'm bugging him like constantly. Josh, you need to bring some boobs to this party. And I'm just razzing him the whole night, all Friday night. Saturday night, he gets there, I start razzing him again. I'm like, come on, Josh, you're a young guy. You're tall. You can see over everybody. Go find some boobs and bring them to the party. Make sure they show up. This is for breast cancer awareness, after all. And I'm just giving him a hard time. I've known Josh for about 7 years. I've known him since he was like 16, and now he's 23. I got him drunk for the first time ever last year at Archon, which that's another story.
Another story, dude.
And that story involves girls making out and Wonder Woman and... Actually, no, I'm sorry. Not Wonder Woman, Princess Leia. Yeah. But anyway.
Not as epic as that.
Yeah, so... So Saturday night comes along. We're all hanging out. The doors finally open. One of the funny things is 2 minutes after the doors open, some guy, and there's people lined up in front of the door when we opened the doors. People were waiting for it to open, which was awesome in itself. Now, it didn't hurt that somebody had given us sausage at like 10 o'clock in the morning. Or no, it was about noon maybe. No, it was about 10 o'clock in the morning. And I went ahead and put it in the slow cooker and filled it with barbecue sauce. So our two rooms and about a third of the hotel hallway was filled with the aroma of barbecue sauce and meat. It was fantastic. So we had people lined up, doors open. This guy who's like three or four people down in the line when the doors open, he leans over and looks at me and goes, "Hey, I'd be able to give donations, but all I've got is plastic." Last year, people said that to me. This year, I got a Square device. Hey, that's not a problem.
Gotcha, sucker!
We take plastic. The look on his face went from half-drunk elation to sober. And it was just like, oh, okay. It ended up working out really well, and there was about $24 in donations that were taken in that would not have been able to had I not gotten that. So highly recommend, if you're going to do something like this where you're getting money, get one of those bad boys. That worked out really well.
Yeah, it'll cost you nothing.
No, it's free. It's great.
The Square thing is free?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's free. And they take 3% unless you key in the number, like if the swipe doesn't work. Then it's like 4%.
Huh.
So I charged $24 total, and $23.18 was deposited or something like that. I mean, it was like the fees are ridiculously low. It was awesome.
They have no excuses anymore not to donate.
Yeah, there is. Nice. We basically removed any barrier of donation. I know toward the other night, some people even donated some wine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I missed seeing that happen, but I know it did.
I don't know who did it, because it was somebody that Way knew or was talking to or something. But yeah, she said there was a older lady who wanted to contribute some wine, had some leftover wine. One was open and one was not. And yeah, so we got a couple of bottles of wine.
Yeah, I know when I was packing away booze, because I inventoried everything before I put it in the basement for next year. I was like, I don't recognize this bottle of wine. Excellent. So, yeah, so the party's going great, serving drinks. People are having a good time. Talking to some people about... I had a couple of people come up to me and tell me about sisters, cousins, nieces, daughters, mothers, grandmothers that were affected by breast cancer. So, very cool. Every time one of those folks talked to me, it was like, it was like another charge to the batteries. It was like, all right, this party.
We're doing a good thing.
This party keeps going. you look tired. Stop it. We need to keep going. So, At one point, I'm hanging out in the hall because there was a little more breathing room out there at times because the social room just got full on and off, and people were just enjoying hanging out in there.
Yeah. You know,
Daryl set up some music where folks were listening to the music, and a couple times dance spontaneously erupted, and people were just having a great time. So
I think the way we had that room laid out was really actually fantastic. You had people that you could go one way or the other, in or out, stay, go, and there was enough room to get out. Like, having gone to a few of the other party rooms the night before, it was like, yeah, we did this right, you know?
Well, yeah. If you look at, like, so there were two other party rooms that I saw the night before, and that was the Alice in Wonderland party and the Zombie Squad party. So the Alice in Wonderland party, they had the booze, like, in the room. And you had to wade through this mob of people. They moved no furniture.
Yep.
And hotel room furniture is laid out really for two or three people at most to move around. And even then,
tops.
You're bumping into each other if you try to pass each other. And this room, there was a dozen people in the room.
Maybe. A dozen people shoulder to shoulder.
Right? Yeah, and that was it. That was all you could get in that room. And you had to wade through that dozen people. I think I was in the room for a total of 10 to 15 minutes. And I would say 8 of that was getting to the place to get the drinks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then standing there for 2 minutes going, man, I'm tired
of getting... Where the hell do I go now?
Yeah, I'm tired of getting jostled. Let's get out of here. It's hot in here. And these drinks taste like ass. And then we went down to the Zombie Squad room, which was pitch black. And this guy was serving lighter fluid as drinks. Those things were so nasty.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then the next night it's like art, where it's like, there. I learned last year that I just hand art my chalice and come back a minute later and just don't tell me what you're going to do. Just
surprise me.
I don't even have to say surprise me. He does.
Yeah,
but see, it's not really a surprise because they're all great.
See, one thing about con room parties typically is they are kind of small affairs.
Yeah,
and you kind of have to make do. Now you've noticed that people are getting smarter and smarter about their rooms. Either they get more of them or they take out all the furniture.
Yeah,
Zombie Squad did that one year where they just took out every bit of furniture and just lined the room with plastic wrap.
Yeah.
Yeah. It worked for them because that way people could spill all the stuff they wanted on the carpet. It didn't matter.
Yeah. We actually had, I mean, I think we did really well with the party as far as nobody really broke anything.
Right.
Or,
not too much.
Yeah. I mean,
we managed to put it all back together without too many obvious damages.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But we lined up pretty the room ahead of time, which was really the do your work up front to succeed thing, right? Like the plan. Yeah,
one reason why that room didn't get overheated was I turned the air conditioners down to about 60 degrees a couple hours before we started.
Yeah.
So we had a good pre-chill on them.
Everybody was complaining that it was cold.
Yes.
In the hangout room. Mm-hmm. Everybody was like, the girls were like covering up and they were like wanting to pull blankets off the beds and stuff because they were like, they were cold. It turns out it's like, well, all we have to do is wait 15 more minutes and we won't have to have that.
Yeah,
we won't worry about that. And it was very comfortable for most of the night. I mean, it got warm a few times, but that's to be expected.
Well, you get that many people jammed into one area.
Yeah.
It's going to heat up regardless of whether you want it to or not.
So I go hang out. I'm hanging out in the hallway, and I know I was hanging out with Adam, and I can't remember who else. I think it was Andrew, and because it was well into the evening, and it was you, Jonathan, wasn't it, that came out?
Yep.
Yeah. So Jonathan comes out and
goes, because I went back in with you.
Yeah. Jonathan comes out and he's like, well, strike one on the noise complaint. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And you're like, yeah, we just got a noise complaint. And I'm standing in the hall, and I look down the hall toward the Zombie Squad room. I can hear their music over anything happening in our room. And they're 10 rooms down. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, we got a noise complaint. God,
you should go. You should go in the room to talk to.
I was like, God damn it! So I go in, and I see this person, and I was like, it took me a moment it took a moment for me to register. This was a girl that had come up to me the night before, after I had been razzing Josh about the bring us some boobs, and she's like, on Friday night she comes in and she's like, do you remember me? And I looked at her and I said, no. She said, do you remember my boobs? Maybe. She said, I got beads from you last year. Well, then yes, I do remember. Oh, that's cool. So come back to Saturday. This chick is, Friday night happens and she's like, well, this top I'm in right now, and she like tries to open it and she's like, I can't do anything with this top I have on right now, but tomorrow night I will have something on and I'll come back. And so
I've been noting that at the time you were wearing beads.
I was wearing Mardi Gras beads, yeah. So I this was something
she wanted beads. More beads.
So I bought a gross of pink Mardi Gras beads for this year's party. And I was wearing some of them that night. And I was like, all right, here. And I gave her some beads and I said, this is a down payment on tomorrow. You show back up and you'll get more. Well, that noise complaint wasn't really a noise complaint. It was a way to get me into the room.
Yes.
And she earned her beads.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Hi-yo.
That was not the only time I gave out beads. For such an occasion.
That was the first of many.
That was the first of quite a few. Actually, it wasn't as many. Well, let me take that back. I gave out more beads last year, but there were different things going on last year, like a couple of actual survivors. Like, I have survived breast cancer. And it was like I was wearing three or four beads at the time. I took off everything I had. It was like, here, you earned you every one of these. You are awesome. Yeah. Can I have a hug? Because you were like and this year I didn't talk to anybody who themselves said they were a survivor, but I talked to people with family members. And so I gave out more. Plus we had the whole chicks making out thing that happened last year that really didn't spontaneously erupt this year.
There wasn't a lot of opportunity for it.
No. We didn't have... I think it was just like this weird...
A little more mellow. It was not as...
The layout wasn't as conducive. It was one of those things where...
We were a little more functional this year.
Yeah.
But I think that was a good thing.
The two beds where they could have started making out were in the room, and by the time you got there, there wasn't the whole, like... Because last year, it was people just funneling past in from the hallway, out through into the courtyard. And so there was that constant flow of an audience that you didn't get from this setup.
Yeah, so that was different.
However, Art got plenty of appreciation this year.
Yeah, Art was greatly appreciated. though apparently only Silk Spectre appreciated him in that way.
No, I saw at least two or three people.
He told me only Silk Spectre. He only saw
Silk Spectre. He might have only remembered Silk Spectre because Silk Spectre came before he went to the Lord of the Five Shots or whatever.
And
I didn't know
he went to the Five Rings party.
Yeah.
The Legend of the Five Rings party. Yeah,
Legend of the Five
Shots. Yeah, they do a party every year, and their parties, they have five shots to represent the five rings from their game, and this is all just promotion for their game. But like the shots apparently get progressively more hardcore. So I did not realize that he attended that party, so that would make a lot of sense. Because I did see him at the end of the night, and I was like, I didn't really see Art drinking at our party, but he definitely looked intoxicated by the end of the night.
Yeah, when he went out on his breaks, that was when he.
Well, he deserved it. I am by no measure complaining.
Every break he got, he deserved.
Yeah, he rocked it hard.
Slinging the juice around quite a bit.
Yes,
and having like taken over for him at the end there. Holy crap! That is not simple.
No. Got a shout out too, Mr. Daryl sitting over here was the sausage man all night. Until the sausage expired.
Yes, it ran out. Yeah, we ate every bit of that damn sausage.
Yeah, we had... The guy who gave us sausage said he brought 4 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I know I brought 21 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through 25 pounds of meat.
Mm-hmm. And we could
and
have
quickly.
Yes, if the big stuff ran out really fast. And the little smokies went fairly quick, too.
Yeah.
It was a good thing it was dishing them out because, as Kevin... People tend to take more than they can probably eat. So if you're sitting here handing them out, oh, do you want a little more, a little less? It kind of tends to make them go. And it.
To be fair, I think one of the things that has helped us more than anything is the fact that we have the meat.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that hour, because we don't start until after masquerade. I
mean, right, which doesn't get done until about 10 or 11.
10, yeah. Well, yeah, it was right about 10.
Well, that's the fun thing about the masquerade. This year they had 46 entries. Biggest they've ever had.
So... There is no food available.
Right.
Like, none of the room parties have food.
Mm.
Hospitality doesn't have food.
Right.
Nobody has food.
Right.
So you're...
A little snack right about then, it feels good.
Yeah, so from 10 to 3, like, if you're drinking, just to have a little something. And we had pretzels and snacks. And I forgot to mention the cookies and chocolates.
Cookies.
The cookies, yes.
Yeah, so...
Those were tasty.
For any listeners of the podcast, Den, who has appeared on here a few times, his wife Colleen is a cook. She's baked the kids cakes. She's awesome. Hire her for many events like that.
You will not be disappointed.
And she wanted to volunteer to make stuff. She said, "If you can pay for the supplies, I will make anything." So I gave her supply money and said, use all of this that you want. If you need more, let me know. I trust you. Just make whatever you like. Because I know she's got kind of a... She's got a sense of humor that is a little bawdy. So it's not... I know she's not afraid to...
Experiment.
To make things that are... That
a bit risque.
Could offend certain sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So she shows up with a tray of cookies and a tray of chocolates. The chocolates are both white chocolate and dark chocolate. And it's not dark chocolate. It was actually semi-sweet. But it's... If you looked at them from one angle, they looked like a penis. Or either that or from a distance. Look at them up close. It is clearly a woman from the chest up. So the breasts look like... At one angle, they look like balls. At another angle, they were breasts.
It was fantastic.
They were awesome.
And they were pretty tasty.
Yeah. Then she made 3 different style cookies. One was, imagine 2 sugar cookies, circular sugar cookies, cooked together. So, and then she decorated them like breasts. Then... And she told me these are for the guys. And then she made heart-shaped cookies. Imagine a heart-shaped cookie upside down with a bra on it. And where the loops of the heart would be, that was where a bra was made in frosting. She said, and these are for the ladies. And then a couple days before, she sent me a text and said, I got bored of making booby cookies and made 10 of these. And they were the logo, the Sausage Fest logo, the awareness ribbon with a piece of sausage hanging out of it. And it was all made in cookie. The cookies were all amazing, and those went quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The cookies went real quick. The chocolates lasted a little longer, and the white chocolate lasted a little longer than dark chocolate. It's pretty much what you'd expect. But... Those were a big hit as well. But I think just the fact that we had some food
is a big
was a big draw and kept people coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Any other stories? Anything?
Well, there was the.
Well, there's two more things that I was going to talk about, but I figured I've been talking for a while. I was going to see if anybody else wanted to.
I figure it's. I'm not the kind of person who's willing to say, "Look, I've got beads. You want beads? Show me your tits."
Right.
You
know? Right.
I'm not that kind of guy. I actually.
And to be fair, with the only exception of me harassing Josh about it, that was really all I did. I just harassed Josh.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Art did it a couple of times, and there's that kind of like general vibe that if you're a dude wearing beads, that you're gonna be harassing women a little bit for like showing them your boobs.
Right.
And I had a couple of women that like I had one woman who came up and was like, "What do I have to do to get one of these beads from you?" I'm like, "I'll just give you one," because that's just who I am.
Right.
But it turns out that there's also another way to get boobs and apparently ass at the same time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had taken over for Art. And Oscar
Langley Soryu.
Whatever. Oscar, a woman dressed as Oscar, apparently a character from Neon Genesis.
You got it.
Comes through the line and she's up front and she's talking to me and she's saying, "You know, I heard about the stories from last year about the he had chicks making out on the bed, all that kind of stuff." She's like, "Well, I'm kind of disappointed because we didn't, you know, I was coming this year and I think that you might have balanced it out and have some guys make it out on the bed, you know." I'm like, "You know, yeah, we haven't really seen any of that at all, either side of it." I'm like, "There's been a surprising and frankly disappointing lack of nudity at Sausage Fest this year."
Yeah, and you know what? I think separately, I said about the same thing, I think to the same person.
She comes around the table because there's just enough room for like people involved with Sausage Fest to get back behind and do things and then go back out into the party.
Yeah.
So she comes around that a bit and she's like,
"I was behind. Well, I was behind the bar at the same time."
Yeah. You, Sam, I want to say Cushman. Were back there.
Yeah.
She comes around and she's like, "Well, let me take care of that for you." And she's in this like schoolgirl outfit. And so she turns around, lifts up her skirt, drops trow, and like bends over and shakes.
Yeah. Ooh. Now,
and I had my back turned. Wait a minute. Someone taps me on the shoulder. So I was like,
"That was me. What do you want?" That was me.
Yeah. And I turn and you're like, "Look," and I turn and his booty shake.
Yeah. So it turns out if you say there hasn't been enough nudity, there will be nudity.
So what's really funny is she gets done. And she pulls up her pants and drops her skirt back down. And she says, "I do burlesque for a living. You just got a really good tip."
"I get paid to
I get paid. I get paid well to do what I just did. You just got a really good tip." Then Sam chimes in.
So I'm not generally this smooth. This was me channeling, focusing all of my... Hugh my Hepper. Pimpiness.
Yeah.
And I say...
About that outfit, because I'm not usually either.
It must have been. It was channeling my inner 14-year-old. Because when I was 14, I had something hard for Asuka. But anyway, so... I look at her and I say, "I don't mean to sound ungrateful, but this is for breast cancer awareness." And there's this like 1.5 second silence, and she rolls her eyes and starts messing with her necktie. Mm-hmm. I thought
at this point she's just messing with you. She's gonna walk away.
Yeah, she's gonna bail.
And then she pulls the tie off and hands it to the person that was holding her drink, and it's like, "Nope, this is not messing around with anybody."
And then, I turn around and I tap Cushman and I'm like, "Cushman, you might want to pay attention. Eyes up front."
No, you just said, "Hey, Cushman, over here."
Oh, and, yeah, that's right. He was like, "What?" And then you grabbed him.
No, I grabbed him. I grabbed him for Silk Spectre.
Yeah, okay, you tap Tony. Tapped my shoulder.
Yeah.
Because I had thought she was done. I didn't hear this transaction. I was trying to keep working the line.
Yeah, you. And then you went back to
on the
working.
Shoulders like, "Pay attention."
Yeah, so then she opens up her top.
And it was good.
At another point, I think actually, you know, it was a little bit after this. I was in the social room and this woman in like a black one-piece bathing suit comes up to me, and she says, "I haven't given you she said, "I don't believe I've given you a tip," which I didn't think anything of it because people, for some reason, if people missed, some people missed the bucket. And so I had to kind of show people a few times where to donate. And I said, "Well, the tip thing is in the other room." And she said, "Okay, well, let's go on in there then." And I was like, "Well, okay, I'll show you." So I'm like, "It's not that hard. It's right around the door." Yeah. So I walk in, and I walk in front of her, and I was like, "Here it is." And she's like, go behind the the bar." And I looked at her and I said, "Okay," because I could see where this was
finally dawned on you.
I'm not that thick.
I smell what you're stepping in, girl.
I'm not that thick. So I come around the bar and I was like, "Hey guys, focus." And Cushman, I don't know what he's doing. He's like looking off into space. He's got his his handcrafted wooden mug that he's drinking out
that
of with his
pretty amazing
big ass pirate hat or whatever he was wearing.
He's just being Cushman.
And normally Cushman's a little more focused than this. I was like, "Cushman, pay attention." And he looks at me and goes, "What?" I said, "Pay attention." "To what?" "Black." And I was referring to her outfit. And he looks over and he says, "Oh." And she pulls her top down.
And boy.
And it, yeah. And then afterwards, Cushman was like, "Thank you, sir." "Thank you.
In his gentlemanly way.
Yeah, in his gentlemanly way." And he pulls his head up, "Thank you, sir." Yeah, it was all in all, it was a good time. And then there was that one story. Who was there for that? Was that Sam? Were you standing there when Adam came up?
Oh, that story. Yeah, I was joking about that before.
Yeah,
how he is salt high.
Yeah. So Adam and I, or Sam and I, are standing outside the room, and we're BSing, and Adam walks up, and he's like, he's looking shifty, like more than normal, and he's been drinking. And he kind of slinks up, and he's looking around. He's, like, craning his neck around, getting all fidgety-eyed. And he's like, "If you see Josh coming, let me know." I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "I just ran into Josh in the courtyard and had the weirdest conversation I've ever had, ever." Like, "Dude, you've propositioned underage girls for their virginity to the tune of $50,000, and you're telling me you just had the weirdest conversation you've ever had." So he's like, "I'm out in the courtyard, and Josh comes up to me, and he's drunk, and he says, 'Man, I am so jealous of you.'" To which I think Sam and I took about half a second each, and we're like, "Oh, I know where this is going."
Yeah, we see where this is going.
And so Adam has to tell the whole story. He's like, "There's only like three or four things that he could be talking about. Is he talking about my job? Because I've got a pretty good job. I've got, you know, is he talking about my life? Because, you know, I live a pretty stress-free life. You know, I'm paid well. I don't have a whole lot of stress. I live a pretty good life. Or is it because, you know, I've kind of got a hot wife?" And my thought at the time is, you know, Josh has only ever seen Melina at cons where, I mean, she does kind of slut it up a little bit. I mean, and at that point I'm thinking, yeah, that's what he's going for. But then in the back of my mind I'm thinking, why is Adam being so shifty? It's not the. Yeah, I mean, it's not like we don't all know how Melina dresses.
After last year, it was fairly obvious where he was going, but.
No, it was not. Maybe it was still
you're too
not
close
obvious.
To it.
Yeah, I guess I am. And so he, I guess Josh at that point says, "You stole Tony from me." What? 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 You stole him from me. He is my Billadama to my Leodama. To which I'm like so stunned. I was like, does that make you Saul Tai? I could poke your eye out. And he's like, this is so weird. And then it's like, yeah, you when you started coming around, he stopped hanging out at the writers group. And Adam was like, yeah, you know, I went to one of those meetings, and to be honest, they kind of sucked. So he might have just came to that conclusion on his own and stopped coming. Yeah, no, you stole him from me. And he was like, I don't remember. I think he said he was like my father figure. And yep. And Adam was like, dude, I didn't steal him from you. You can see him whenever you want. It's like, no. And he was like, man, we've invited you to come out to the podcast. Oh, you're just pandering. You're just saying that. It's like, you're just working your ways on him by saying that.
Working your ways on him.
What?
Oh, man, this turned into a soap opera.
Working your Hispanic magic.
How does, hey, man, you want to come podcast with us? Translate to working my magic. So, yeah, apparently something happened, and he got out of there quickly after that. And then had to come tell us.
For Adam, that's pretty intense.
Yeah. And so at the end of the night, we're wrapping things up, and Josh appears back in the room. And he's just kind of standing across the room, and I'm trying to play it cool, because I'm like, this has got to be colossally embarrassing for the poor guy.
You gotta walk up and have a Dama voice.
He's like, I was like, what's going on, Josh? He's like, drunk. Drunk conversations in the courtyard. Kind of embarrassing. So it happens. He's like, can I get a hug? I said, sure. And hugging Josh is like hugging a fucking tree. Because
you can't get both arms around him.
He is huge. And I'm not talking big around.
Yeah.
Because he's
just a big guy.
He's just a big guy.
He's just huge.
Yeah.
Huge hands.
I mean, if he had.
Linebacker huge. Yeah. Like, don't fuck with this dude. He's in the NFL huge.
Yeah. Josh could wear Stingray's hands. Not ironically. Yeah, I mean, it's like he could wear his gloves and they would
like,
fit.
Chibi and I are big dudes.
Now, my hands are still bigger than his.
Oh, well, yeah.
He's bigger, he's bigger than everything else of me, but, well.
Well.
Except for possibly one thing. I haven't seen that. I can't compare.
His shoes? His shoes.
No, I could compare those.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Don't know about his sock size.
Yes. That's fair. You don't know if he's stuffing his socks. wearing multiples to make sure those shoes fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that happened.
Wow.
I think that was the most surreal moment of Sausage Fest this year. Didn't have to kick anybody out.
Yes, well-behaved crowd.
There was an incident with security.
Oh, when that girl came up and told us to power it down, or
oh, no. This was basically because we had people in the room who did not have badges.
Oh, yes. They started hassling.
they think they don't need no stinking badges.
But I took care of that the following day. That's been resolved. Jonathan, sound like you had something to follow up on my didn't kick anybody out of the room story.
Well, It doesn't end badly. I mean, it's not like this is bad, but
I think
at
I know
the end of the
about.
Night, when we're done with Sausage Fest and we've kicked everybody out.
Yeah.
And we're getting ready to get we're like winding down, people are going and doing, and we're cleaning up and that kind of thing, getting things set up so that the beds are put back together and
Wait. Before you tell this story, I got one more.
Oh, boy.
So we're starting to wrap things up, and this person comes up and starts talking to me. And that would be an interesting story unto itself, but that's not the most interesting part of the story. So I'm talking to this person, and there's been this guy walking around drunk for the last half an hour at least, and he is so drunk he can barely stand, and he's got this guitar. And did you see the guy with the guitar walking around?
Yeah. He came through the line a couple of times.
Yeah, and he was drunk when he came through the line.
He was playing a song.
Yeah. So my back is turned to where they are, and I know he's behind me, and all of a sudden I hear somebody just jamming. I mean, just rocking out, singing, and just, I mean, doing a great job. I mean, it was like, wow, that drunk dude can really wail. And I'm talking to this person, I wrap up my conversation, and I turn around, and the first thing I see is Melina's face. And she's looking at the bed next to her, and her jaw is, like, in her cleavage. Because she's looking at James, who is so drunk he can't open his eyes, and just playing, like to end the world, and singing, and just going to town. It was like, when did this start?
What the holy who does that?
Yeah, and he is just
hammered and then rocks out.
He is just rocking out, and the guy whose guitar it is just standing there slack jawed, like, wow,
I never really could do that.
Yeah, so that was like, it was one of those moments of just like, I turned around and my worldview changed. It's like, what is going on? So sorry I interrupted your story. That was
That was worthwhile. No, it was just we finished up, and Nick, like, God bless the dude. That guy is awesome.
Yeah,
he not only stood at the door and ran age check, like bounced for us the entire night, mm-hmm. but he then like helped us clean up. He was helping us move furniture, like. Just everything. And he had his buddy with him, the Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
The Dave.
The Dave.
The Dave.
The badge says the Dave. His buddy's helping too as best he can. But I mean, like, at the end of the night, we pulled the keg out because we're like, oh God, we have a full keg still.
Right.
And put it right by the entrance as we're trying to, like, you know, we fill up glasses and we filled up with the last dregs of the alcohol, and then we're like, just for everybody else, our plan was before the hotel security kicked us out, was to just like start filling cups with beer. And it's like, if you want a drink, take a beer.
Just take it with you. One for the walk back to your room. Just go.
Yeah. Dude was awesome because he was helping like fill cups, and he was doing, you know, he was running the keg while I'm trying to figure out what alcohol we can put in here and dealing with people who don't want beer and like, no, you can't have anything else. I'm not opening another bottle for you, etc. But then like we get everything done and it's 4:30 and I got 3-4 hours of sleep the night before.
I think we all got about 3 or 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah, the night before that, before flying out to St. Louis, I got 3 or 4 hours of sleep. Like, I just don't sleep well when I got stuff going on. I don't sleep well at a con. So I'm just like, I didn't get the nap in that I wanted. So I'm just exhausted. And we've got the rooms mostly put back together, but we had combined all the chairs into one room, and so then we could put the other we split the chairs back up into their respective rooms, and the chair was sitting next to the keg, and the Dave is sitting in the chair just sucking on the tap like it's a teat.
Pumping it with the in his mouth.
One hand has the tap in his mouth, the other is just pumping the tap up, and he's just sitting there like he's like it's ambrosia itself. I'm like, oh my God. And somebody who knew him was like part of the because he and Nick were with Josh, and
yeah,
the noise complaint was with Josh, and all of that was kind of this whole group. One girl that was with them was like, he is not going to remember any of this in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he is. But he just, like, would not go away. I appreciate the drunk desire to hang out and, you know.
Well, and then,
because I've been there.
So then he was, it was like, all right, so we're going to bed. And he's like, oh, you're not just going to. He said, oh, if I could just have some of that beer to take with me. And it was like, we're looking around, and it's like, we don't.
We don't have anything.
We threw away all our bottles as we emptied them, and we didn't empty that many, really. And it's like, so we're like looking around, and I remember there's about 3/4 of a bottle of orange juice in the cooler. Three-quarters of a gallon of an orange juice in the cooler. It's like, wait a second. So I pull it out. I was like, anybody want some? So I think I even poured a glass for somebody.
Yeah, Nick wanted some.
Yeah, dumped the rest out, and we filled. Or as close as we could with the
foam. We both have pictures of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We filled that gallon jug with beer and handed it to the Dave.
Yeah.
And we've got a great picture of the Dave holding the beer.
Looking absolutely thrilled.
And then it was like,
that was
all
a
right.
Fantastic end. I just wish it could have come 45 minutes earlier.
Yeah, and you can go now. Thanks.
The one person we had to kick out, we had to kick out with love. You know?
Yeah, it was like,
go away because I want to sleep.
Well, and then there was the one guy who apparently, and Art said there was only, he only really had one person that he could complain about. And there was one guy that made a $25 donation like at the beginning of the night. So
is this the hunchback?
Yeah.
VIP man?
Yeah. Apparently somebody made the mistake of telling him that he was a VIP because he gave a $25 donation.
Yeah.
So he believed that since, like, those of us who are, like, part of Sausage Fest, like, Luke kept referring to the back area behind the bar as the VIP area. So that guy heard that and thought that he could just come up all night long and get as many drinks as he wanted.
Yeah, no.
Which then he started bringing his buddies by. Hey, I'm a VIP. Give my buddies a drink. And Art said, now to be fair, his buddies only came back one time each. But this guy just kept coming and coming and coming for more drinks to the point where his buddies came up with him and like one of them looked at me and said, he doesn't need any more. And I had looked at him before that, and moments before that, I turned to Art and said, that guy's already hosed. He doesn't need any more. And Art looks at me and kind of pulls me aside, and he goes, I've been short-shifting him. It's okay. Apparently, Art had been pouring less and less booze in every drink after the guy had, like, his eighth.
It's like he was a bartender before.
It's like, you know, it's like he knows what he's doing. Things. Yeah, I trust Art implicitly, but you still kind of, you know, when you're in charge of something like this and people are getting alcohol, you feel the need to like say, "Hey, just in case you didn't see it," and Art's like, "I'm on it."
Yeah,
don't worry about it. I got it under control.
Like a boss.
Okay.
But at the same time, I mean, at least left the tip.
The best part is the guy had been back so many times that I knew his name. I had gotten his name because I'd heard people saying it. His name was Adrian. So the next day, it's Sunday, after we check out, I go back to the convention center. I'm hanging out, walking through the dealer room. I'm about to walk out of the dealer room, and who walks in? Adrian. And he's moving a little slow.
It was kind of a hunchback
and
to start with.
He walks straight toward me and then like walks by me. I'm like, Adrian. And he looks at me like, do I know you? I said, Sausage Fest. And he said, what about it?
Dick Four.
Yeah, I was like, you were there last night. You had a lot to drink. He said, yeah, I don't really remember.
Should have told him, well, we got it all on tape.
Yeah. Oh. So, all in all, I had a great time.
It was an awesome, awesome time.
A++, we'll do again.
We'll do again. Definitely.
Excellent.
Yeah. So worth the talking me into going.
Yes, the hotel should forget about us in a year or so.
No, they're not, because they're actually going to get a letter from me in the next week or two.
About?
We'll talk about that.
Oh, that's different.
Offline.
Oh, okay. That's
how. But yeah, it's actually a good thing, though. Okay. So. But yeah, I don't have any more. I think I'm tapped out of stories at the moment.
I'm tapped. Yeah. I'm done.
We've been going for nearly 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just let
and
you know.
And I don't want to do backseat box office after this. So
yeah. I gotta go to bed.
2,200 people.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's actually kind of on the light side, but it's enough.
Yeah, considering we switched venues twice.
Well, that there was also about 100 badges that weren't picked up.
Oh, wow.
Pre-regs. So I figured either people either couldn't make them or got called out at the last second for... And believe it or not, the registration, we had about 20 people come in around 10 o'clock and actually pay a full price for a Sunday one, which is only good, you know, 5 hours worth of stuff.
Wow.
I mean, we kept telling them, like, you know, if you just want to go to the dealer room and the art show, go ahead until it closes. I mean, there's no charge. No, they plunked down the entire $25 for Sunday.
Fantastic.
It was nice. Yeah, let's bonus. I didn't. We tried every way in the world to dissuade them that, you know, telling them, there's really not much left to do. And
hey, if
they still come.
If they want to give their money, let them.
It's true. I mean, let them do it. I mean, we give them every opportunity to walk away. But
yeah. Oh, one last thing, because there's a person who's only gotten tangentially mentioned to this point, and we need to throw big props out to Wehi.
Oh, yes.
Again.
Yep.
Again.
Yes. She again.
Makes everything a lot better.
Yeah, she brings very cool people. She knows a ton of people, so a lot of people come
we'll
to see her.
We'll go because of her.
Yeah, they come to see her, and she's awesome. She's fantastic. Every time I see her, it's like, hey, Wei. She gives me a big hug.
Mm-hmm.
We're buddies throughout the con. It's kind of funny because you see, like, some fanboy following her because... She is a very attractive woman.
No, she's not just attractive, she's stunning.
Yeah, she's beautiful, and she wears really cool costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Most of which are very sexy as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, they say you should always costume to fit your body frame.
Mm.
Oh, boy, does she have the body to costume.
Yes. Yes,
yeah,
she does.
She works it.
And she's just a sweet person on top of it, which is just
excellent
fantastic.
Attitude.
Yeah. She understands that people are looking at her and that people will follow her, and she knows how to leverage that in a way that's not seedy.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, it's very cool.
Let's put it this way. She's cute.
She's very, yeah.
And not
only in her looks, but in her personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny because there was a couple of times where, like, I'd run into her walking around, and, like, some guy would be right behind her, like halfway having a conversation with her, and he's all in costume and she's in costume, and I'm assuming they must be like from the same show or something, because I don't really know any of the anime stuff, and she's like, Tony, and she'll run over and give me a hug, and you just see the dejected look on these guys' faces. It's great.
Well, that's just it. Wei doesn't do anime costume. She does video game costume.
Yeah, she does video game stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Wei He is a fantastic person. Check her out on Facebook. And she does the One Wei Cafe.
One Wei Cafe is her online shop. And she's also a regular host on Dragon Talk Radio.
Yes.
Throw a shout out there for excellent. John Clement.
Yeah, John Clement's a very cool dude as well. We got a lot of friends in the local community around here. So all very good people. All right. Let's be done.
Okay.
That's all I got.
So thanks for coming, guys.
See you next year at Sausage Fest.
It's
going to be a good time.
It will
you know
be.
What's great? My wife has heard so many stories. She's actually even interested in coming out.
Fantastic. That's awesome.
We're bringing them in.
Wildly, wildly out of character for her.
We'll have to discuss how we're going to work it next year.
She and Kim can hang out.
Mm-hmm.
She it probably won't happen, but...
Hey, she's welcome to.
Yeah.
Everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome.
Unless they're under 21.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Bad deal.
If you have
I'm assuming you haven't married a 13-year-old, Jonathan, so that's probably good.
If you have any concerns about coming out to Sausage Fest, that you won't enjoy it or you won't fit in, don't, because yes. It's goddamn awesome.
Or a big tent.
Seriously, good time.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, guys. I'm bouncing.
See ya.
Thank you.
Bye. Later.
See ya.